Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding. Available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. Let's go straight to Paul Finucane. And Paul, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you doing?
€6,500. A dream holiday.
Short of it, Joe.
Yeah. A dream holiday to India. Yourself and your wife. Yep. Take us, you so long. When did you book this holiday?
Back in March, Joe. We paid a deposit.
Okay. And what was the plan? What was the itinerary of the? What attracted
well,
you to it?
You know, recently retired, Joe. Holiday of a lifetime, as you say. Bucket list. So, a trip to India, 15 days around the Golden Triangle, so called in Rajasthan. And then a few days and go at the end.
That's incredible. That's incredible. An incredible trip. Okay, so you pack, you get ready. Did you have to go to the Indian Embassy in Dublin for visas or any paper?
Yes, absolutely. Had to organise visas by remote, Joe, on the internet. So each had to get a visa.
But you had to supply, show them your tickets and your passport and everything.
I had passport, okay. Absolutely.
So we get to Dublin Airport. You're all ready to go. Did you do your vaccinations as well?
All of that, Joe, yeah. Wow. And a 7.5 hour trip from West Cork to Dublin Airport.
Okay. So you're queuing up to check in. What happened?
Essentially, I presented my passport. That was fine. And then presented aliens. And the guy at the check-in noticed that there was a slight imperfection in it, called a supervisor. She took it away, came back and said, not going to let you board. We can't issue you with a boarding pass. So, you know, get on with it.
So who said no? Which representing who?
The supervisor, the Emirates supervisor.
Emirates said
at
no.
The check-in desk, Joe. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Now, so you pleaded. You were in shock, I presume.
Yes, well, you know, you can imagine, Joe, what it's like when you're kind of built up to this and there you are 7.5 hour trip later and this kind of bombshell lands. Absolutely, yes.
And did you plead? Did you appeal? Did you beg?
Absolutely, Joe, yes, and explained a couple of things. First of all, that there is a slight imperfection in the passport. It's been there for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
We've been travelling on this passport for the past 3.5 years.
Yeah.
A lot of illness in the family in recent times, obliging alien to travel to Australia and to the US twice on this passport, and never a problem. In fact, in March of this year, she travelled with Emirates to Australia via Dubai, return journey, and presented that passport to Emirates in April and May, and never a problem with it.
Now, you've sent me a photograph. I can't...
Yeah.
Everything is clear. The numbers, the dates,
we
the
have
names.
To find out where the imperfection is to people that we've shown the image to, Joe.
And where
if
is
you look
the imperfection?
Down at the bottom left-hand corner, I think, if you look closely, you'll be able to see an imperfection there.
It's a slight indentation.
That's it.
Am I correct?
Absolutely, Joe.
It's let me see. It doesn't touch a number, it doesn't touch a letter.
Nope.
And you say you've travelled on it before on numerous occasions and there was no problem.
Well, Aileen would have presented it either to the airport check-in desk or to immigration people on 36 occasions in the last 12 months alone, Joe. And that's 6 trips with kind of, you know, we've worked it out. So it would be at least 36 times in the last 12 months. And of course, this indentation has been there for 3.5 years.
Now, just for our listeners, it's not torn.
Nope.
It's not torn. It's I'm trying to explain to listeners how small. Maybe we can crop it and just without take out the numbers, we can crop it and tweet the actual.
You're
happy to do that? Okay, great.
Yeah, I think your listeners do need to see just you know how minimal the imperfection is.
Here. And the problem is, and you often hear people saying, well, if I get to the airport, I'd be grand. If Emirates say no, there's no one can overrule them, is there?
Well, no. So we got on to the travel department who made the booking for us, Joe.
Okay.
And it was at this stage almost 6:30 when we contacted the travel department in the evening.
Okay.
And we did manage to talk to somebody, and they just explained that there was no way that it was possible to argue with the check-in desk, that they just are on to themselves, and whatever they say cannot be reversed. And all they could offer was to try and get an emergency passport and rebook the holiday or whatever bit of it was remaining at our expense, of course. So this would be on top of the 6,500 that we'd outlaid on the trip already.
And did that happen?
No, it didn't. We came home, Joe. So we got home sometime after 1 a.m, having left home at 11 a.m. So 14 hours of our lives that, you know, wasn't exactly.
Yeah, well, it's more than that. It's a whole holiday. It's a whole, and everything looking forward to it. Now, this Department of Foreign Affairs damaged. If your passport has been damaged, I don't know what that means. You will need to return the damaged passport when you're making an application for a replacement. If your passport is damaged, do not travel on it. But, like, damaged to what extent? Obviously, it's damaged if you cannot read names or dates or expiry dates on it. Obviously, it's damaged if there's a cup of coffee been poured over it and the passport number is illegible.
Yes, Joe, but again, to point out that immigration authorities over 3.5 years have not considered the passport to be damaged.
I know that.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm trying to... How could we replicate the damage that's done to this passport? How can a listener at home, or not in a car, hopefully... That page is plastic, so to speak. If you have a soft piece of plastic, take it out and just in the bottom left-hand corner, make a small indentation, maybe with your teeth.
We'd have to put in our dentures, I think, Joe, and take a tiny little nibble out of the corner, but as minimal a nibble as you think you can get away with to make an indentation.
That is shocking. And you, by the way, when you applied for your visa to the Indian embassy, and all embassies and visas are very strict, did they see a problem?
None. And Joe, it gets worse because we're now in a situation where we're trying to get some refund of the money that we spent, $6,500 through our insurer.
Wow.
One of the things that they want is some documentation from Emirates as to why we weren't allowed to board the plane. And when we contacted their customer service, a very nice guy in Slovenia, he explained that actually we're on the record as not having checked in. So therefore... So as far as they're concerned... the term he used is that we're a no-show.
Oh, that's terrible. That is awful.
So that's going to compromise our ability to get any kind of insurance claim settled.
So that's nearly €7,000 down, apart from the upset. €6,500 down to... Oh, that is beyond now.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of anyone's passport being... Sometimes on Ryanair, if your name, if it's Joseph John instead of John Joseph, they can get tetchy. But I don't know if anyone's ever been...
Well, we've been around a bit. I mean, we've lived in Australia for 15 years. We've been over and back very regularly. So we're used to, you know, navigating airlines and immigration. And, you know, the Australians, you know, are beyond pernickety, as of the Americans. So we're used to, you know, making sure that all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed.
By the way, have you been to India before?
No. This was, on the bucket list, Joe, the trip of a lifetime. Yeah.
And how long were you going to go out for?
It was 15 days.
Yeah. Well, it's an incredible country, as you might know. I know, because I've been out there. My granny was born there, believe it or not. She was born in India, but people say I'm a cowboy, but that's neither here nor there at this stage. Is there anything we can do? Is there anything anyone can help us
with? Well, Joe, I mean, the reason why I contacted Lifeline in the first instance is just to shed light on this, because, what we found is that the airline industry, you know, just is a law unto themselves, and they ride roughshod over people. And this might be some way of at least, you know, trying to call them to account in some small way.
Yeah, but I'm looking at your, I've tweeted now, someone's going to tweet it on my account, at Joe Liveline on Twitter, and I asked people, retweet it. It's, maybe I'm, so basically what they're saying, I'm basically, if they've stopped you, which they did, sorry, they stopped you getting on this very important trip in terms of money and everything associated with it. On the base of this little indentation in the corner. Everyone should check their passport now. And if there is a small indentation, I don't know how you actually check it, but if there is a small indentation, you're going to have to get a new passport. There it is.
Well,
it's up.
I'm not sure if that's the case, Joe, to be fair,
they stopped you going.
You know, 36 times this year that we went through, yeah, there wasn't a problem. And it just seems to be, yeah.
But the 36th occasion doesn't obliterate the 37th where you were told, go home.
Yeah, that's true.
And are they saying, like, the Department of Foreign Affairs want to now give us a bit more information than these two lines? If your passport has been damaged, how? The cover of the passport, the back of the passport page, any parts of the passport? Is it like this little indentation which we put up on Twitter there? That will abandon your trip. That means, I think, anyone who put it, you could argue that a sticker on the front of the passport, that a slight stain on the corner that doesn't remember. And I ask people to bear with me here. The tweet has gone out. People can retweet it and at Joe Liveline. The indentation, which what do you, does your wife know how it happened?
Yes, we have the culprit, Joe. We've got a 4-year-old boxer, and as a small pup, she managed to get hold of the passport for about 2 seconds. So it is the tooth mark from a small pup, 3.5
years
ago.
Well, it looks like your dog got his little molars on her for a millisecond. Looking at the damage. Maybe we'll get people in saying, oh, you have to be careful. By the way, is this passport, which was refused on the 37th time, has it been used at the new automated digitally, you face down your passport? Is it readable for the machines? You know, the new machines in Dublin. So it's readable. Yes. So it didn't affect that.
To the best of my knowledge, it hasn't.
Well, it didn't, because how could it?
Yeah,
because
I mean, the last few times Aileen travelled, she travelled on her own to the States and to Australia. She travelled on her own, but no, she had no problem. She got straight through. And as I say, those countries are the ones that are most rigid with, the passports and the like. Yeah.
I'd love to hear it. As someone said, it doesn't block out any information. Someone says it's a joke that they sent you away.
Yeah, we don't find it terribly funny, Joe, to be
fair.
No,
I know, neither would I. Yeah. Dublin Airport, DAA, they've no role, sure they haven't.
To the best of my knowledge, no. I mean, the travel department have said, you know, that it's absolutely at the discretion of the check-in desk at the airline, and that nobody else can in any shape or form we make any representations that they decide.
Yeah. And even if you had managed to get an emergency passport?
Yeah, 6:30 in the evening, Joe, so it would certainly have been the following day, and then it would have meant trying to get a flight as soon as possible thereafter. But again, as I say, that would have been at an additional cost to us, so I don't know what another flight would have cost. Probably another few thousand, I would have thought.
Of course.
Yeah. For a less holiday than we'd booked for.
And then if you your hotel accommodation in India, can you get any of your money back?
Well, that's what we're trying to do, Joe. But as I say, our insurance is compromised by the inability to get anything from Emirates other than to say that we were a no-show at the check-in desk.
I thought the CEO, and that doesn't make any difference, I thought the CEO of Emirates was Irish. You know, the way we're in charge of most airlines around the world. Mm. When Willie Walsh used to run every airline brilliantly in the world. Emirates. I think they're, well, you see, Emirates will say, well, we'll only give you back, if you were lucky enough, we'll only give you back the price of the flight.
Yeah.
And the killer, again, for listeners who have only joined us, Paul and his wife, retirement holiday bucket list, India, €6,500. Arrived, got visas, vaccinations, went through all the travel agent, arrived in Dublin Airport, fetched up to the check-in desk after journeying up from West Cork, and the person on the check-in desk said, hang on a minute, there's a slight indentation in the corner of the passport. As I say, it's up there on Twitter. A slight indentation, and they said the passport is damaged, even though nothing of a number or a letter or a digit or a symbol or a photograph, nothing was actually touched in the slight indentation in the corner. It wasn't a tear. It's not a tear. It's like a slight indentation. Slight indentation. I'm finding it more difficult to explain here because it's so ridiculous. But the as you say, the airline said, good luck, and we have the last word.
That's it, Joe. You have it in one.
Yeah. Where are we going to travel in India?
So started off in Delhi, then up to Agra, to the Taj Mahal, and then to Jodhpur, Udaipur, and finally a few days in Goa.
Yeah, on the beach probably, and a bit of sunshine down at that end, yeah. Okay, I don't know what we can do. I don't know what we can do in terms of...
Well, Joe, to be fair, just...
It's a warning, people. But even...
It's a service to people, absolutely.
Yeah, but Paul, I don't know what to be warning people. Because the statement from the Department of Foreign Affairs is so vague. It's so vague. And the passport office are very good. Would the passport office... But you see, the passport office say, even if we give you photographs of damaged passports, we can't guarantee that the airline will accept a photograph with a little indentation on it.
Yeah.
With a little indentation. How's your wife?
Oh, same as myself, Joe. Pretty disappointed, frustrated, a bit cross. But we're philosophical, Joe, and we realise that there's lots of other bad things happening in the world. So this is on the list in terms of. But you know, so we'll survive this, Joe.
Gotcha. You've adopted a very John Lennon goes to the Maharashtra in India in 1965. So you're so laid back, Paul.
Well, I wouldn't say we're laid back, Joe. We wouldn't be talking to you if we were laid back about it. But at the same time, you know, you can only let these things kind of drain so much of your energy. That's my feeling about it.
Okay.
So as my dear old mum would say, Joe, pox in all their houses, and let's move on.
Yeah. Okay. You're very... Is Patricia there? Patricia?
Yes.
Passport,
hello,
what happened to you? Joe at rt.ie 51551. What happened? Have another go, Patricia, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay, so I was going away for a week there in June. I was going to Spain.
Okay, we'll try and get a better. Then we try and get a better line, Patricia. Hold, stay with me. Hold firm. Hold steady. Hold steady, Patricia. I want to come back to you. Marie works in data protection.
Yeah, hi, Joe. And I'm sorry, very sorry for your listener there and the experience that he's had. So, the comment I want to make is just in relation to the record, I suppose, he's trying to get from Emirates to say that he tried to check in and they wouldn't allow him. So, Joe, under GDPR, that information is actually classed as personal information. And Emirates have an obligation to make sure that any personal data that they hold is actually accurate.
Okay.
And therefore, it's Paul, isn't it? I missed it.
Paul Finucane, yeah.
Yeah. So Paul has a right under GDPR to have that record rectified. And that's very clear in the GDPR legislation. And Paul also has a right to make a complaint to the DPC about that.
Data Protection Commissioner,
Yeah. that they take very seriously. So I suppose it's just a comment there.
Okay, just explain. You, I know you work in data protection. Just explain that to me again. The Emirates, so, Emirates are saying, Marie, yes, that he never, that he's a no-show.
A no-show, but that's not accurate. He did show. He did show. And
how does he prove it? How does he prove it?
Well, I suppose he can. I'm not really sure how, like, you know, okay. I've never had experience of looking for a record rectified. I just know that you can do it. Perhaps he can make reference, you know, he can simply state to them that he was there in the first instance. And then he can escalate it and say that you sure, you, there must be records.
Okay. CCTV, well, Marie. CCTV.
Exactly, yeah. Like, the obligation is on the airline. You know, Paul is the data subject. His rights are protected.
Okay.
So it's really on the airline. So I suppose in the first instance, I think he should approach the airline and say that, you know, tell them that under GDPR that, you know, that he has the right to have his record rectified. And then if they don't, they don't do it, then he's willing to, you know, make a complaint, which is, I don't believe there's a charge for on to the DPC.
Yeah.
So
okay, stay with us, Marie. We're drilling here, and you're on the Kango hammer. You're brilliant, Paul. Paul.
Yes, sure.
Did, okay, take me to that check-in desk again. Who arrived first? Who produced their passports? What did you show?
First of all, it was 4 hours before the flight, Joel.
Well
almost
done, yeah.
3 3/4 hours. So there, wow, there was not many people there. So we got up to the desk very
okay.
quickly. There was a queue. We were in the queue maybe for less than 5 minutes. And gentleman behind, you know, who was manning the check-in desk, took my passport, and to the best of my knowledge, he scanned mine and then took Aileen's passport and went to scan that and tried a second and a third time, and then absented himself, went off and spoke to the supervisor, and a few minutes later she came back and said, there's a problem with your passport, you can't travel. And she said, I've tried it in my own kind of scanner or something to that effect. And then we started, you know, to explain that we'd been, you know, able to travel for 3.5 years on this passport, including with Emirates. And she just was not listening, Joe, I can promise you. Her mind was made up.
But hang on. Marie, did you hear Paul say he handed in his passport first? That was scanned.
Yes.
That was scanned. So there'd be a record of that, would there not be?
I would believe so.
Yes.
But again, I would say, Joe, the onus is on the airline.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, Paul's, that record of no-show is not accurate.
That's
so
true.
It needs to reflect. I don't know what their classifications are or how they actually record. Perhaps they're limited by their system, but at the same time, I don't believe that he should simply get a, you're recorded as a no-show. That's not accurate.
I think
and I suppose, look, if Paul is writing to them, he can point to these particular things that happened. Like, he, you know, there was two people who looked at the passport, so there's witnesses to it. There's that his passport scanned, perhaps that's on a record, you know.
Yeah.
He can point to some evidence, you know, that the date that they were and time they were in the at the check-in desk, as you said, there's maybe CCTV. He could put that to them. But at the end of the day, it's, they have the obligation to have his record accurate. It's not up to Paul to prove it.
Okay, well, I go. Thanks, Marie. I think you've hit a seam there, a gold seam on Paul. Now, Paul, this is going to be a lot of paperwork. That's the only thing. But bear with us.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll
see you through, Joe. Don't
you
worry.
Yeah, I know you will, and we'll make sure you. We'll help you whenever we can. Layla,
there. Tell Paul to. For more information, the Data Protection, I sound like I'm selling their wares now, but the Data Protection Commissioner's website is actually quite helpful.
Great.
And I don't know the helpline. I've never called from the perspective of the data subject, but I know that they will take these things seriously. So maybe they could guide him about it too.
Well, we need to get on to DAA ASAP, Paul, with the time
and
the date. Ask them to hold on to the CCTV.
Yeah, and Emirates
There's a dispute.
Have a data... Emirates should have their own data protection officer as well. If you look online, that should be there.
Okay.
We could also kind of communicate with them in the first instance. But best of luck, Paul. Take care, Joe.
Well done, Marie. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Layla Wade is in Loughlin Sound. Layla.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, what happened?
Well, firstly, just to say to Paul, I'm so sorry to hear about your holiday.
Yeah.
That is, just awful. I had a similar situation, well, not entirely similar, but a similar situation of a damaged passport recently. I mistakenly put my passport through the washing machine, realised, my fault.
But you weren't in any doubt that it was that you're going to get a new passport. They're going to have to get
it. Yeah, I know. Talk about money laundering. It was passport laundering.
Okay.
But I put it through... and I realised, and I'm emigrating in about in a week's time now to New Zealand. This was about a month ago this happened.
But hang on, Leila, take me back. When you put how did it get into the washing machine, the passport?
I was just doing a few jobs around the house and I was moving very quickly. We had just returned from a family holiday and my passport was in my jeans. I just put everything into the wash. And took the wash out and realised that my passport was in the back pocket of my jeans.
Ah, so you didn't... When you turned on the wash for an hour, 146 or 220, whatever it comes up
as...
Eco. You didn't realise then your passport was in the machine because, well...
No.
A lot of the time you can't open the machine if there's water still in it. It won't let you open it. Unless someone has a trick.
I had only discovered...
Okay.
Afterwards, outcomes the
jeans, and in the bum pocket is your passport.
Is my passport, and I'll say
saturated.
It was. I was a year into a 10-year passport, it wasn't too saturated.
Okay.
And this is where the doubts came in because the plastic page.
Okay.
The passport was, you know, where all the important information regarding your all details is on. That, to the naked eye, seemed undamaged.
Okay.
The rest of the paper pages were slightly water damaged, but everything was visible. The corners were just slightly frayed, as you can imagine.
But surely you said to yourself, given there's electronic information on this, it's been in a spin for 2 hours with every conceivable type of washing pad. You knew you would have to investigate.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, okay. Take me to the investigation.
I'll take you to the investigation. For a second I was like, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I said it to my partner and he was like, I think it's grand, don't worry about it. And I was like, okay, fine. And I went... About the rest of my evening, and then I was like, I'm just going to Google what constitutes a damaged passport. I looked on Reddit and I looked on a few forums, and everyone was like, it's damaged. Like, absolutely, there's a chip inside, as you rightly pointed out, Joe, that, you know, the electronic chip likely will not be working.
Yeah.
There was a couple of things that I came across said... It likely would be fine in Europe, but if you were to maybe go beyond Europe, then it could get quite problematic, just because of the, I don't know, recognizing it. And a lot of people were saying, it's up to you. Like, if you think it is damaged, then it likely is damaged. And that was essentially the answer I got from the passport office, who, I should say, were by and large extremely helpful.
Yeah, as usual.
Can't sing their praises high enough. But when I did call the DFA just to see, you know, I guess I was panicking as well, and I was trying to see, like, get reassurance. Do you think it's damaged? The response was, if you think it's damaged, it likely is, but ultimately it's personal preference, and it won't be the passport office or the DFA who would stop you using it. It is going to be immigration somewhere else, to wherever you're flying to, or the airline.
Hang on. I know... When I was in Trinity back in the day, to get into the Department of Foreign Affairs was a big, big ambition of a lot of people. And the people who got into the Department of Foreign Affairs were very erudite. A lot of them had a classical background, i.e. in Latin or Greek or whatever. They were very, very bright, very bright. So they're now saying to you, it's cognito ergo sum. If you think your passport is damaged, it is damaged. As René Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. They're saying to you, if you think your passport is damaged, it is. But could you, in a quick riposte, Leila, could you not have said, well, I think it's not damaged.
Therefore, it's not damaged. I would have been taking the own risk onto myself, I think.
Yeah, I know.
Ultimately then, you know, maybe not being able to emigrate to New Zealand, for example, or go on any trips beyond that. I think the ultimately they were like, if it looks like it's been tampered with in any way, that is cause for it to be refused. For you to be refused admission from there.
And now, have you been able to look at the photograph of Paul's wife Aileen's nibbled passport? It's not even nibbled. Have you been
I
able to?
I actually haven't because I was driving and then
I
pulled in and I'm parked.
I'm trying to explain it to listeners who can't see it, Leila. Imagine if your passport was a hobnob chocolate biscuit, okay? The nibble, it would be impossible to get a nibble as small as is on this passport out of a hobnob. Do you follow me? No, you don't.
Yeah, totally.
It would be impossible. It would be impossible. You either take a big... But anyway, stay with us because and we'll get the number again. 0818 715 815 joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Holiday of a lifetime, retirement, bucket list, 6,500 to begin with before we go anywhere for the holiday to India for Paul and his wife. Arrive up in Dublin Airport and Emirates Airlines declare that their passport is unusable because there is a slight little nibble. It's not even a nibble. Nibble's too big a word. How can nibble be too big a word for anything? But it is too big a word. A slight indentation in the bottom left-hand corner of a page that doesn't interfere with anything. And the Emirates said, no, you can't travel. And that's the end of it. No appeal. End on. They had to go home. And Leila pointed out that you threw your passport into the cycle, into the washing machine. And when she rang the passport office, they gave her a Cartesian response, which is, if you think it's damaged, it is damaged. Cogito ergo sum. If you think it is. Now, Paul, by the way, had you the option of checking in online?
We didn't look at that option, Joe.
Did you have the option, I wonder?
Not sure, to be honest.
Because they would have, again, you could have done it. I don't think they would have stopped you if you would, and you didn't, but I just want. The second thing is, did you pay for your visas in the Indian Embassy? What did you have to pay for apart from the ticket, the vaccinations? They're not cheap.
So we paid online for, I think, you know, $25 American, if I remember rightly, Joe.
Okay.
And part and parcel of that was the need to present an image of the passport.
Yeah, which you did.
Which we did.
And there was no issue?
No.
Okay. Patricia, are you there? I know you're on a better line, Patricia.
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you? What happened?
So I went on holidays in June for a week and I was meeting my daughter. We were going to Spain. She was travelling from the UK.
Okay.
So I'm just listening. I checked in online and the whole lot and went to the airport.
Right.
Went through security, the whole lot. And then, you know, when you're boarding, where you go through, you hand your passport and your your boarding pass to the air hostess or the steward.
The steward, whatever you.
And so I had the passport, the phone inside the passport page with the photograph. And she took the passport and handed me the phone to scan, which I scanned. Mm-hmm. She looked up my passport and she handed it back. And I headed on out and got on the plane, arrived at my destination.
Yes.
And there was a huge queue for passport control. Mm-hmm.
What was the destination?
And I met my daughter.
Spain. Oh, good luck.
And
What part of Spain? You can tell me.
Malaga Airport. Malaga Airport.
Okay.
And it was extremely busy. Anyway, my daughter found me and we were in the queue and we were all excited.
Yeah.
And anyway, got to the desk. She presented her passport and went through.
Yeah.
I opened my passport on the photograph to hand to the guard.
Yes.
And I looked at it.
Yes.
And I did a double take and realised... I'd my husband's passport.
Oh, no. But you got through Dublin Airport with it.
I'd gone through Dublin Airport. Yes, I did. And I said to the guard, he was like in a hurry. There was such a queue of people. He was rushing along. And I said to him, "Oh Jesus, I've my husband's passport." And he said, "Yes, yes, is he coming?" Like he was sort of looking over my shoulder. And I said,
"He is about 6 weeks.
He's not here. He's not here." I said, "He's at home." No, he said, "Where is he?" I said, "He's at home." And he said, "Yeah, so that's his passport. Where's your passport?" I said, "I don't have mine. I have his."
That's not funny.
And I was trying to say to him, yes, you know, I took his in error from the drawer.
Of course.
And my daughter went to come back in to me and she wasn't allowed to come back in.
Right.
And I'm literally, I was in such disbelief.
You're hyperventilating at this stage.
I was. Yes. And I was thinking, he was saying to me, "But how did you get here?
Yes.
You don't have your passport. You have your husband's. How did you get here?" And I said, he said, "Where did you come from?" I said, "I came from Dublin." And he asked me, what airline? And I told him. And I was rooting through my bag and taking the stuff out of the bag. And because I really thought, this can't happen. I must have the two passports. Anyway, long story short, eventually they let her back into me.
Okay.
And the guy went off and got a supervisor.
Okay.
Man or a manager, and the two of them they were speaking in Spanish, and I was trying to explain what had happened and the whole lot. And they kept saying, "Well, you can't come in here."
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, shit, now I'm going to have to go back home, and she'll be here on her own for the week. But anyway, what can you do? And he said, "No, you can't go home. You've no passport. You can't come in and you can't go back."
And how long have you been living in Malaga Airport, Patricia?
You're
now resident there for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah. So she said, right. So she can't go back home and she can't come in. So does she stay somewhere here? Like, is there, you know, I thought maybe there is somewhere.
A holding area.
This happened, a holding area. And already I'm hot and flustered and I'm thinking if I'm in a room now. But anyway, very long story short, I said to them, "Listen, I've already checked into the hotel I'm going to with my passport on Thursday night." And I'd, lucky enough, I'd done all that and I explained all that and told them where the...
Yeah.
So they said, "Can your husband send a picture of your passport?"
Brilliant.
And I'm thinking, great. So my daughter rang him, and I'm thinking, I hope she can get him because he could, or the cover wouldn't be good or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, she did get him. And I could hear at the other end of the phone, she was trying to be very calm. "Hi, Dad, Harry. Yeah, yeah, did you meet your mother?" Like, and she's going, "Yeah, no, everything's all right. Dad, you know the drawer beside the phone?
Yeah.
Will you go to that drawer and get Mam's passport out of it? She has your passport here." And he's like, "What? Why has she my passport?"
Okay.
"I don't know," she said. "Can you just get her passport from the drawer?"
Yes, quick,
so anyway,
that,
got the
quick
passport.
Come on.
Yeah, got the passport, took a photograph. And he, anyway, showed the guards. They had
Brilliant.
A conversation together.
Wow.
They had a conversation together in their, in Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah.
And anyway, the senior guard or the supervisor guard said to me, "Okay," he said, "this is what you're going to have to do."
Okay.
"Can he send that passport?"
Brilliant.
Imminently. And we said, "Yes, he can." Like, well, it probably won't get here till Monday or, a courier. We can do all that. And he said, "Okay, if the passport doesn't come," he kept saying, "You can't come in, you can't go home.
Okay.
This is very serious."
Yes,
but,
yes.
He said, "But if your passport doesn't arrive," he said, I probably shouldn't say this, "you're going to have to tell a little white lie."
Okay.
And I said, "Right."
Yeah.
He said, "So if your passport doesn't arrive in time for you going home," "you're going to have to, you'll have to report it lost."
Lost,
or stolen.
Okay. Yeah, well,
lost.
Yeah.
Not stolen, he said. Not stolen, lost.
Okay.
You'll have to say you lost it after you left the airport.
But isn't that wonderful?
Anyway,
but isn't that wonderful that they used the two were they men or women in Malaga?
There were two men.
Two men, Joe.
They were now initially they were very like, "No, we can't have this. You're not coming in, and you can't go home."
But they did use new technology. They did say, "Send us a photograph of the passport." They knew, yeah. I presume, the Emirates airline that turned Paul and Aileen away because of a little nibble. A little nibble that didn't affect the passport at all at all.
At all.
What did they think Paul and Aileen were up to? Were they trying to flee Ireland and go and illegally live in India or something? But anyway, so they said, so they used technology. Yes.
Yeah, they did. And he did send the passport.
Yeah.
It didn't arrive on time. That's a whole other story. But anyway, I'm home. Yeah. And everything is good.
And like, when did you become a Spanish citizen, Patricia?
Do you know, part of me was hoping it wouldn't arrive and I could stay for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And the other part of me was thinking, Jesus, no, I have to get home.
Okay.
But, you know, the other thing, I mean, it, you know, it was a great joke.
So how did you get
then.
Home? How did you get home?
I did. I had to go to the embassy the day before I came home and get a passport.
In Malaga?
It was in Marbella. I had to make my way down to Marbella.
Ireland has a consul in Marbella, have they?
Yeah, I think it's like a provisional office.
Half of Ireland lives down there.
Yeah, yeah. But, Joe, the whole joke then, of course, with my daughter and my other daughters and extended family and friends were, you know, like, what was going on? My husband is bald. I'm not bald. What was that girl looking at?
He has a beard.
What did she see when she looked at that picture? What did she think?
Brilliant.
But,
Patricia, bear with me now. I think you were longer in. You weren't as long in Spain as you were in this call at this stage. So where's your passport now?
The passport didn't. We were tracking it, and it was arriving, and it was to arrive.
Yes.
And then we got a message to say, "Oh, we couldn't deliver to the address, which is a hotel that's, you know,
could have been
delivered." But anyway, and we went to the office, the sorting office. It wasn't there. Anyway, in the heel of the hunt, I had to go to the guards and say I'd lost the passport get forms and go down to Marbella and I got the temporary one. But then the hotel rang me and didn't arrive the day after I came home.
I need a go on, the hotel rang you.
Yeah, the passport arrived the day after I'd left.
Ah.
And
so you promptly went back out to Dublin Airport, got on a plane. Back to Malaga.
I did. A friend of mine actually collected it for me.
Super.
She was down there.
Yeah.
But look, I was very lucky. And the hotel, again, were like, no, you can't come in. If you've no passport, you can't come in. We can't legally let you in. But look, I said, look, I've checked in online, blah, blah, blah. They knew I was genuine.
Yeah.
I have a genuine face.
You have. You're bald, but you have a genuine face under that beard.
That's it. Well done.
Well, I tell you, the last time I was in Dublin Airport, I don't know where I was flying, I was queuing up, and a fella in front of me got very mitred. You know, he was tetchy, looking around, checking this. I said, are you all right? He said, I'm raging. He said, I didn't bring the telly with me. I said, the telly with you? He said, why? He says, because I've just left my passport on it.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie 51551. Paul and Aileen, holiday of a lifetime. 6,500 to begin with, just for the tickets and accommodation to India, and were turned away by Emirates Airlines. The Emirates are now saying they were a no-show because when Paul handed in his passport, when Aileen handed in her passport, they found a slight nibble, an indentation on one of the corners, and it didn't affect anything. But they said, we think it's damaged, therefore it is damaged, therefore you're not going. Where's Hillary? Hillary, sorry for holding you. Hillary.
Oh, you're okay.
The puppy, okay.
The story's not as fun now as Paul is. We were going to, again, that was my sister's 60th birthday, and the family were going over to Boston to my niece. And lo and behold, we had gotten a puppy maybe 2 months previous.
Okay.
And we had, 2 days before, we had taken all the passports out. We'd had them on the table. And
right.
I came down one morning to find there was the dog after mangling my son's passport.
Ooh.
But we were looking at him and going, well, he still had his number, his, you know, his name, all the details that we thought were, you know, they're all relevant.
And can you explain, Hilary, the word mangle?
Do you know the way you'd say, like, teacher, the dog ate my homework?
Yes.
It literally, she had nibbled all the plastic and the, you know, it was badly damaged. It really was. But because all the details were on it, we said, look, we'll chance it. You know, we'll just, now I'm realising we really did take an awful risk after hearing what poor Paul had to say. But going through in Dublin, they just kind of looked at us and went, what happened here? And we said, but coming back, leaving Boston to come back to Dublin, they were having none of it. And they were like, no, what happened here? And we told them, like, initially we were laughing and then we were like, oh, they're not finding this funny at all. So they said, you're going to have to sit down a few minutes. We'll make a phone call and we'll see what we can do.
Okay.
And they weren't giving the impression that it was going to be fine or anything, but they were saying, look, but what they did was they called, I presume, the embassy or wherever they called anyway. But it took about 10-15 minutes and they came back and said, yeah, that's okay. They have your passport. They have your record of your passport. And it's the numbers, you know, corresponds, blah, blah.
Well, they made the effort. Isn't that decent of them?
And that was it.
That was decent of them.
Absolutely. I mean, because it really
was very
it was in bad condition. So I just thought that was really kind. Like, my poor son was in an awful state. You know, then again, he thought, oh, sure, I'll stay in Boston. But no, that's all they did. They just made a phone call. They you know, again, common sense prevailed, I suppose. And
but Hilary,
he's got one since.
But when you got to the States, okay, you got through Dublin. But when you got to the States, were you not worried about coming back?
Well, you see, because they said nothing on the way over.
Yeah, okay.
And if anything, we thought they'd be more strict going in than coming back, you know, because, you know, you're going into another country and especially with America, with the, you know, security and everything. So that we thought, well, when we got through that, we thought we were home and dry. But you know, it was
well done. But you,
but like, at least they did it. And but like, he got one. The minute we came home, he got a new one.
Okay.
But I'm gutted for poor Paul because India is
I don't know. Have you seen the photograph? Have you seen the photograph?
No.
Try and get a look at the photograph.
What you're describing, that's just ludicrous. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Nibble is the wrong word because nothing is broken. Nothing is torn. Okay, Hilary, have you still got the dog?
Oh, we do. She's still eating shoots and shoes and socks.
What's
and
what's her name, Lucky?
She won't be so lucky if she does it again.
Okay, Hilary, safe travelling, safe travelling. Anne, good afternoon. Italy.
Hello, Joe.
What happened? Yes.
My sisters and myself, we usually go on an annual trip somewhere. And this particular year, we were going to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And we arrived at Shannon, and we were going on, do I say the airline? Doesn't matter.
You're going on a plane. What was the airline?
We were going on a plane anyway. And we were queuing up. We were queuing up.
This is not funny.
Kind of one of these backdoor places. And I was standing beside my sister, and she took out her passport. And she said, God, what's that sticker on my passport? You know, the way it's sometimes little sticker. So she opened it, and the two of us just looked and said, Jesus Christ, when we saw the passport. She had mother's passport.
Mammy's passport.
Now, mother's passport. Now, fortunately, the passport was in date.
Yes.
And she was had the same Christian name as my mother.
Okay.
So,
and where was Mammy in date? Where was your mother?
In heaven.
Oh. She got an earlier flight. How long had your mother been passed at that stage?
She was probably dead about a year.
Okay,
and my sister was in the house.
Okay.
One day, and she said, oh, isn't that a beautiful photo of mother in the passport? I'm bringing this with me. So she brought it home to her own house.
Yeah.
And it was probably just left somewhere.
Yes,
and then it got thrown into the drawer with the other passports in the house. And sure, like, there shouldn't be any other passport in her drawer.
So what did you do? I'm dying to know, Anne. What did you do? Was your mother looking down on you?
She certainly was.
Okay.
So we proceeded. I said, just put your name on your finger on the date of birth. You say.
What was the age difference?
30 years.
Okay. And the photo, was there a similarity in the photograph?
Not really. Okay. Mother did look kind of, you know, you get
she
the hair
young
done
for
you
her age,
your passport.
Yeah, of course,
you'd be getting
yeah.
your hair done when yes. you'd be having the passport yes. photo taken, yes. you know, and it was a local photographer, yeah. you know, so because we always supported local, but she, the of course, the checkout lady at the door took the passport. They didn't scan them that time. She took it, I think. I don't remember her scanning it. She took it and she looked at it and she just handed it back. Now, yeah. there was a kind of a twist on this. One of our sisters had changed her flight to the following day. But I'll go back anyway. We got
okay.
into Italy, no problem.
Yes.
The same thing happened. Took the passport, looked at it. And there was a few girls from Dublin behind us. And they knew there was something wrong from our whispering.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got out through customs, they said, "What were you up to?" And yeah. My sister said to them, she put her finger to her lips and said, "Uh-oh, give me your phone number and I'll tell you in a week," she said.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, jeepers, they said, "We don't want to know if it's something like that." You know, because she knew immediately she was now illegal in the country.
But the passport with the photograph of your mother, which is, who was at least 30 years older than the whole dear sister who had the passport.
Oh, yes, 30 years older.
Did it get you when you landed in Italy? Did it get you into Italy? And did
yes,
it get you
it
back
did.
Out?
No, my other sister was coming out the following day.
She brought the correction.
So she brought it.
Okay.
And it was hilarious. She was at an event that she changed because Michael D was being at this event and she said, "I can't miss this."
Yeah,
so she changed hers and brought out the passport the next day.
Okay.
So
she changed her flight so she could see Michael D.
Exactly.
Exactly, and that's worth. Yeah, okay, that is worth. Well done. It's a
so
great
she brought
story.
Out the passport.
And by the way, what never... age do you think your sainted mother was when she with her photograph in her passport? What age was she when she got a photograph? Say?
What age? Oh God, she'd have been a good 86 or thereabouts.
And what age is your sister?
Well, she'd have been 30 years younger than
oh,
that.
Oh, mother of God, she must be mortified. She was mistaken. Okay, Emma, did you enjoy Italy? Did you enjoy Italy?
Oh, we did. It was fantastic.
Okay.
Absolutely
well
fantastic.
Well
so it was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you mind yourself, Youssef, and we say, what's your mother's first name? God rest her.
Peggy.
And what age was Peggy when she passed?
Peggy was, hold on now, we had her 90th birthday booked, but we had it the day of the funeral instead. We brought everyone, we said the party is brought forward, it's today.
Okay.
You all have to come.
Oh, well done, well done, Al. Well done.
Yeah.
Okay, God rest Peggy, and tell your sister it's younger looking she's getting. Leslie Bourne, thanks Anne. Leslie Bourne.
Hello Joe, how are you?
Yeah, what happened?
Oh, God, where do I start?
I know.
About 3 weeks ago, I went to Bulgaria and everything was fine. My passport is, say, a year and a half old.
Okay.
And I had used it. I had been in London, Liverpool. I'd gone to Bulgaria the year before. Everything was fine. And so when I was coming home, it was a late flight.
Okay.
And we went through, and we were going through customs.
Yeah.
And my friend went before me, then I went, and they just kept looking at me, looking at the passport, looking at me, and I was going, "Oh, holy Jesus, what's wrong?" And I said, "Is there a problem?" And they just, like, came out of the box and said, "You must wait." Very, like, stern. And I was like, "Okay, what's wrong? Just tell me what's wrong." And they were like, "No, no, you must wait, you must wait."
Right.
So they put me to the side and everyone was coming through. So I looked like a drug mule in the corner.
Yeah.
I was mortified. And now 10 minutes went by, 20 minutes went by. And I kept saying to the other fellow that was doing the passport, I was like, "Oh, please, please, I'm going to miss my flight." And he was like, "Shush, shush, you just wait, you wait."
Okay.
So there was all Irish were coming through for the flight. And they were all going, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even answer. I was just like, "God, what's going to happen here now?" And so, heel it on. Anyway, 40 minutes later, they were calling my flight and all. And then a senior policewoman came along and she just looked at me and she said, have you got another passport? And I said, no, this is a legal document. And she said, no. And then she says, you come with me. So they opened the door and they were bringing me to an office. And my friend was on the other side. She was in tears. At that stage, I was in tears. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what's wrong. So she just turned around and she said to me, your passport is faulty.
Yeah.
And I said, how? Like, I've done nothing. I've used it before. And she just said, no, there is a fault in your passport. And I was just like, please.
What is it? Yeah.
It's the last flight out. I have to go home. And they were like, I don't know. And they kept looking at each other. And eventually they said, okay, you can go. But you never use this passport again.
Mm-hmm.
So I got through. And Joe, wait until I tell you this bit. I had 20 bottles, boxes of Solfadine in my hand luggage. Because you can't get Solfadine in Ireland. And I seen them over there.
Yeah, yeah.
I suffer with chronic pain. And I was just like, oh my God, Solfadine. So I was like, if they look in my bag, I will be arrested.
For drugs. A drugs meal.
Yeah, but they said it was like on the page, like your photograph, and then in the corner, there's a map of Ireland, and there's just a little blob of gold paint.
Okay.
Like it's a flaw.
A flaw.
But I never even noticed it.
And yeah? What part of Ireland is the flaw?
A flaw? Is that a Dublin phrase? I don't know. But like there is definitely, yeah, okay, if you look at it, but you wouldn't even notice. You know what I mean? You wouldn't be looking for that on your passport.
Okay.
But it was the most frightening thing.
Leslie, it's just in my head. They weren't looking for money. Were they after you?
No.
Okay.
I thought I was going to be banged up abroad.
But you be careful on those Solfadine. When you get the, you know, you get the warning when you go into the chemist. How they fire your own use. God, they're addictive, apparently. I can't keep going to your doctor. It's Paul. Yeah. Thanks, Leslie. Thanks for that. Mind yourself.
Okay,
and
thank you.
The lesson from today, guys, is if you think your passport is damaged, it is. And we have a statement. I don't know whether is Paul still there, because I want to ask him this. We have a statement in from Emirates. Are you still there, Paul? You are, you're back there. Paul, come in, Paul. Calling Paul.
I'm here, Joe.
Emirates
yes,
wants
me?
All of its customers to have the best experience possible travelling. Unfortunately, passengers with damaged passports that are not machine readable. Now, did you get through the machine in Dublin Airport, or did your wife get through the machine in Dublin Airport with her passport on any occasion?
Yes, in the previous occasion, sure, yes.
So it was.
But it was the machine, I think, that picked up the issue on Monday evening.
Okay, picked up the little indentation. Okay, stay with us. Joe at RT.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Cogito ergo sum. If you think your passport is damaged, it is. Tom O'Keefe.
Yes?
What happened? You're flying to Chicago 2022 with your golf buddies.
2002.
2002. Okay.
Yes. Got to the airport in Shannon.
Yeah.
Discovered I didn't have my passport.
Okay.
My late wife had driven me. She passed away last year, and she was driving me. Discovered I didn't have my passport.
Right.
Now, I lived about an hour and 15 minutes from Shannon Airport.
Yeah.
And we had plenty of time, and she thought she might make it there and back with the passport.
Yes.
My daughter worked in the bank about halfway between Shannon and where I live.
Okay.
And I phoned her, asked her to go to the house, get my passport and meet her mum on the road somewhere.
Halfway. Good thinking. Okay. Good thinking.
I had a friend in Aer Lingus who used to give me an upgrade if I was flying to America. If he was on duty, he happened to be on duty on the day. I knew he would be.
Yeah.
And when I told him my dilemma, he said he knew the head of U.S. Immigration in Shannon. He knew him pretty well. And we talked to him.
Okay. We're definitely in Ireland with all these little people we know.
We met him.
Yes.
He said he could arrange a temporary passport for me.
Yeah.
It would cost $195.
Okay.
We would do the paperwork, and if my wife didn't make it back on time, then I could pay the $195 and get the temporary passport.
Okay, so... yes.
So we waited around,
yes.
And the couple of hours passed rather quickly, as you can imagine, and eventually we felt she wasn't going to make it back, and we'd have to kick in the temporary passport.
Okay.
So they were calling the flight at that stage.
Yes.
So went to the girl in U.S. immigration to pay the $195 for the temporary passport.
Okay.
And I only had $50 bills, and I gave her $200, and she said, it's $195, sir.
Okay.
And I said, well, just have a drink. Keep the $5.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir, I can't do that.
Okay.
And so panic, but my friend...
Tom, you're going to have to speed it up. My flight to Malaga is leaving at 3 o'clock. I wish.
My friend rushed out to the bank, got the smaller dollars. We got we paid her, got the temporary passport, got on board, and turned left to go into first class to the nose of the plane. And I was sitting there,
yes,
waiting for takeoff.
Yes.
The captain had asked the girls to assume their takeoff
steward,
positions.
Yeah.
I was sitting there looking out the window,
yeah,
and I saw my friend from Aer Lingus driving the temporary stairs on wheels.
Chasing the plane.
The plane.
Chasing the plane.
Yes.
Tom Cruise.
To the door.
Yes.
He was coming to the door.
Yes.
And I lost him from view because he was gone behind me.
Yes.
But the things you do when you're in a panic, I got out of my seat, went back to the door,
yeah,
and the stewardess is strapped into a seat beside the door.
Yes.
And this was a good bit. I said to her, could you open the door? My friend is trying to get in.
The plane wasn't moving.
No.
But the doors were closed.
Like
yes.
Yes. She looked at me like I'd lost my mind,
yes,
and said, we're 30 feet off the ground. I said, I know, but my friend from Aer Lingus,
he is
trying to give me my passport.
Yes. And he was driving the portable stairs.
Yes.
Brilliant.
He picked up the red telephone, got through to the captain, and obviously he allowed her to open the door. And my good friend John said, have a nice trip.
Brilliant.
And he had the passport.
So he pulled up in his chair, ran up the steps and handed you the passport.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
Well, so everything was okay. Now, did you get your $195 back?
No.
No, so you had your temporary. Okay.
That didn't matter too much.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done. And yes?
Just to say, my wife passed away last November, and today would be our 53rd wedding anniversary.
Tom. And what was her name?
Anne.
And God rest her. God rest her. 53
yeah.
years
so
ago.
So not a totally happy ending, but the passport was.
Okay. Well, hopefully, if you believe him, a lot of people do in the afterlife, well, then she'll get a little titter from that story today, Tom. Mind yourself and God.
I would imagine so, yeah.
God rest Anne. Thanks, Tom. That's Tom O'Keefe.
Okay. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
A TV series where one of the characters drives around in a portable stairs on the streets. It's Arrested Development, apparently. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to convert it, an airport vehicle, for specific reasons, into a roadworthy vehicle? Okay, we'll find out. Is Paul Markey. Paul.
Hello there, Joe. How are you?
Okay, back to Malaga.
Malaga Airport, yes.
Yeah.
My now deceased mom and her friends, who are both in their mid-70s, went out to Dublin Airport to Malaga.
Okay.
Passed through the check-in on
right.
the plane, off the plane, arrived into Malaga to the immigration, who said to my mother's friend, your passport is no good.
Yeah.
The corners are cut off. It is out of date.
Yeah.
So they took the two 75-year-old terrorists into a room, interrogated them, eventually let them out and said, well, you stay in Spain, but you've no way of getting home again. So my mother was very sorry to go out and see her bags. So the only bag left in the carousel going around, sadly, around and around. Anyway, they eventually got to their destination in Marbella and decided to ring me to see could we sort it out. So I said, yes, where is your friend's passport? Mm-hmm. It's in her knicker drawer.
Oh.
Okay. Hello. I will go and get her daughter to...
Of course. And discretion, of course.
Yes. And my mother's friend said, you will not. No one's going to look in there. It's very private. And I said, well, in that case, you can stay in Malaga. so with a first row...
And the passport's staying in the knickers. Okay.
So eventually I was persuaded my mother to tell her friend to allow her daughter to go and invade her private knicker space.
Yeah, of course.
Procure the passport, who I was able to get it over her.
And even if she said, or even you, like, tell you where the drawers are with the drawers, pull open the drawer and then avert your eyes and just do a little, rifle through and you'd find the passport. Without seeing it, without witnessing anything.
I have an even more incredible story about passports you'll be able to find there. Very quickly.
Yes.
Myself and my two friends went over to Medjugorje from Glasgow. We passed to Glasgow Airport, arrived in Croatia, which, as you know, it's in a different country. Medjugorje is in Bosnia. Arrived into Croatia. I went to passport control. One of my friends went to, and the third guy, his name is Niall. The immigration man said, hello, Betty. He had taken his wife's passport.
And how did he get on quick? Did he get through?
He got through, but was told he wouldn't get out. Our problem was we had to go into Bosnia. And, of course, we had to pass through two or three, if you're familiar with Croatia and Bosnia. Eventually, we were going through, and this is the killer line, we were going through into Bosnia. And we were terrified because this huge, big, unpleasant-looking border guard came over to us and we said, we've got one dud passport here. We're going to be arrested for trafficking.
Yeah.
And as he was coming to the car, this beautiful Volkswagen pulled up, open top, and this blonde lady waved to the passport guy who waved us on. Uh-huh. So we managed to get through three passport controls with the wrong passport, and eventually, after much of a big row with my friend's wife, she sent over his passport and all was well.
And Betty sent over the passport?
Betty sent over the passport. Okay. Betty sent over Betty's passport.
Okay. And I'm just looking at the screen. There's loads more stories. And I'd love a definition of what marks a damaged passport. Sound Mark McGrath, broadcast coordinator Shane Galvin, producer Owen McLaughlin. Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cosy colours. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.